Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are now tuned in to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. My name is Terry Tackett, and I'm proud to have him back here finally, the host of the show, Pastor Steve Whitaker. Hello, Pastor.
Hey, Terry. Good to be back on the show. It's been kind of a couple weeks of busyness for me. A lot going on. Hey, I want to remind everybody, the call-in number here is 740-383-9944. And I want to tell you, if you guys want to keep this show on the air, make sure those that sponsor this show know that you're out there. Give us a call. Call in, let us know you're out there. It's really important that you do because we need your feedback. We truly do. Again, I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker. I am the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship. We're at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. And we are a church that is Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, and prayerfully Bible-obedient. And it's good to be here tonight. Our phone number there, by the way, is 740-272-8711. You can catch this show also on archives, WWDGH archives, so you can pull up any of the shows and listen to that if you need. If you can't remember the numbers or the information, pull one of the shows up, listen to it, it'll be on there. So you can always do that at any time.
And the repeat tomorrow.
Yeah, and a repeat's tomorrow at 3:15. Yep. And, you know, the nice thing is that with the archives, you know, those are there. That's a bank of shows there that people can listen to any time. If you like the show and you go back, you want to catch one or challenge me on something, you can go hunt the show up. How's that go? Well, anyway, this has been what people describe as Holy Week. The week leading up to Easter, and I had a sweet old saint tell me today that she said that, she said, you know, Pastor, she said, Christmas is always such a huge deal for everyone, but she said, you know, Easter's the time when we really need to share the reason Christ came. And I cannot agree with her more. What an important time it is. And I know there's those people out there that only think about coming at Christmas and Easter, and that's what they do. And I would welcome you to come to our church at 209 East Water Street. Our service will be, we'll have regular service time at 10:30. We have Sunday school at 9:30, but regular service time at 10:30 Sunday. And, you know, Prospect's not really that far if you're in Marion or any of these places. You know, you really think about it. People say, man, you guys are so far away. Well, do you realize the places we drive just to get something that pops into our head that might taste good?
A Starbucks?
or whatever. Or whatever.
That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Hey, honey, let's drive here. Well, yeah. You know what? A Sunday morning, hey, let's drive there because I can promise you the food you're going to be fed will taste wonderful. So I want to begin this today with a little bit of reading, if I could.
Pastor, before you do that, I just wanted to ask one thing. Do you think that Easter's kind of a forgotten holiday almost, though, or... I mean, I know obviously people don't take it as serious as Christmas, but it's almost, do you think it's like in that forgotten? I don't know if that's the right word, but.
Well, I'll tell you, as the world goes on, one thing about this Easter or Christmas that people remember, and most people can celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that's great because Jesus came to this earth, and most people know who Jesus was. And we want to celebrate his birth because that's a good thing.
Sure.
The thing about Easter is Easter calls us to action. There's a difference. So a lot of people don't like to think about Easter.
Yeah.
Easter calls us to individual action to respond to what Christ did on the cross in his death and resurrection. So a lot of people don't want to go down that road too much, and they want to just stick to the Easter bunny and whatever things we can do in that order. But you know, it's true. It does. Easter calls us to action, and it's kind of funny. We talk about Jesus, and a lot of people will give you different ideas of who they believe Jesus was. There's only one true definition, and that's that he was the Son of God, and how the Bible describes him. But it's real interesting. I believe it was C.S. Lewis said this, and I don't want to misquote. You know, he's the one that did Narnia and all that. You know, C.S. Lewis made the comment, and someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it was him, that said Jesus was one of two things. He was either a liar and a fraud, or he was who he said he was. And one of the reasons he said that was because Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. He did wonderful, miraculous things. He is an obvious historical figure. There's so much record and account of Jesus and his miracles and the things that it caused and the birth of the church and everything that went on. And a lot of people say, you know, I believe in I've got a nephew like this. I'll say, that says, you know, I believe in Jesus, I do, but I just don't believe he's the Son of God. I believe he was a good man. Well, you can't be a good man and be a liar at the same time. You can't be a good man and defraud people at the same time. You can't be. So he had to be one or the other. And if you really look at what he did and who he was, there's only one obvious answer, is that he is who he said he was. And if he is who he said he was, then we better pay attention to what he did and what he said we need to do. Would that sum it up about right?
Yeah,
I think so. Goodness. You know, the prophecies alone about Jesus' birth, death, and resurrection are amazing. To look up the prophecies that were fulfilled from the Old Testament to the New Testament, for that not to have been truth, there's just no room for error. I mean, I've heard it described this way one time. For the amount of prophecies that came true from the Old Testament to the New Testament concerning Christ's birth, death, and resurrection, the odds of those coming true would be like covering the state of Texas in quarters 4 feet deep, digging your hand in a random spot and pulling out a particular quarter. Now think about that. That's how strong those odds are. And if those odds are indeed that strong, that they're true, for those prophecies to be fulfilled, that were proven and have been proven through history, through time, through writings, and everything that we've seen, then why, with odds that strong, aren't people doing what he said to do? I think it's because they don't want to. You know, no one ever questions Caesar. The thing rings written on Caesar. No one ever questions Plato, the things written on Plato. They have just a handful of manuscripts written. The manuscripts written from the Bible are unbelievable. In the languages they've been translated through over the years. And still following, being able to follow those same prophecies going through so many hands and being changed so many times. But when they go, every time they have found writings that go back further, they match up with the ones that went forward. I mean, it's just amazing. But I want to read one of those while we're on the air tonight. And this is Romans chapter 4. Let's go to 5. I never can make up my mind, Terry, I'll tell you. I just can't. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. I'll begin there. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, in this way death spread to all people because all sinned. So what's being said here is the word is saying that because sin came into the world through Adam for the first time, mankind was tainted with sin. Spotless mankind was tainted with sin. You aren't born with a clean slate. We're born with natural sin in us, because if we were in the ideal situation, you would have people out there that would never sin because they just decided not to. But everyone does, don't they? In this way, death spread to all people because all sin. In fact, sin was in the world before the law, but sin is not charged to a person's account when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam's transgression. He is a type of the coming one. So understand that everyone has sinned. Everyone carries that sin from Adam. The law came and told us what sin was, but it doesn't mean that everything before that was sin that happened wasn't there. If I back up in verse 6, it says, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." You know, the next verse says, "For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person, perhaps some might even dare to die." In other words, rarely will someone even die for someone that's really good, put their life on the line for them. I can't let them die. I'll take my place in their place. I mean, that would be a rarity anyway. But Christ died for us while we are filthy and dirty and wrong. See, God hates sin to the point that he doesn't even want to look on it. But yet he sent his son. He loved us enough that he wanted to clean that slate. I just think that's an amazing thing. But God proves his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? In other words, our righteousness isn't anything we do. What makes us right is nothing we do. What makes us good is nothing we do. Every bit of goodness that comes through us is because the shed blood of a holy God, Jesus Christ, died on a cross and shed his blood to cover that sin. His life blood to cover that sin. For while we were enemies, then how much more, having been reconciled, will be saved by this life? And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received his reconciliation. So, in other words, through Adam, we were separated from God. It's kind of like if you're standing on one cliff and you're looking across a wide, wide ravine or a wide, wide chasm. Or, you know, you've seen those pictures where people look down and see that river way down to the bottom of the gorge. You know, and then there's another one over here and there's God. You can't get there. It's like that old saying, you can't get there from here. But Christ came and he bridged that sin gap so that we now have access to God. And he bridged it through his blood because only his blood was righteous enough to pay for the sin that we did. People say, Pastor, that sounds great, but it seems kind of like a fairy tale. I want to encourage you. If I don't get anything else across to anyone out there, I truly, truly want to encourage you to ask God to know the truth. To ask God, if you're real, show yourself to me. If you're real, let me study your word and reveal yourself to me. Because he says if we seek him, he won't cast us out. And the more you study the more you understand the truth of it and what really happened. You know, God doesn't need to prove himself to anyone. God's evidence is all around us in every shape and form there is. I look at some of the things that we look at in life to try to prove something. I see parents out there that are willing to, on a chance of a kid getting a ball scholarship, willing to go countless hours of league ball, travel ball. And travel miles and put all their money into it and all these different things. And you know, the thing of it is, Terry, that a lot of them, when it comes to eternity in their life, won't even stop to look at it and think about it because somehow they think it's like the little kids that put their hands over their eyes and think you can't see them. You've seen a toddler do that. They cover their eyes and think because they can't see you, you can't see them. Guys, that's not the God we have. He sees us, and we're all accountable. The fact that you don't believe does not make him not true. It just makes you not believe. You know, since when does not believing something mean that it's not there? You know, you can tell somebody all day long that, look, you drive 100 miles an hour down that road. When you get to the end of that 100 miles, there's going to be a straight cliff and it's going to be a drop-off. And you say, you're crazy. I don't believe it. I saw a lot of cars go that way before I ever went. Say, okay, fine. You drive 100 miles and all of a sudden there's a cliff. You know, the fact that you said you didn't believe it doesn't mean the cliff's not there. And the fact that you don't believe in this amazing, awesome God does not mean that God's not there. He is there. We look many times at evolution and the things of it. We look at man and which we try to see his origin and how he came and plug things into this and plug things into that. Folks, you realize that if that were true, which it's not just man, it's every other creature on this earth would have had to do the same unbelievable, miraculous way of growing, reproducing. Reproduction's amazing if you ever studied it. That can't happen by chance, folks. None of this stuff can happen by chance. It just can't. Anytime you leave things to their natural way, they don't get better. They go to chaos. Everything left normal goes to chaos. Not to being better, not to getting stronger. When you see areas that have been left completely alone, you know, so you see them revert back to weeds and overgrowth and negatives. You don't see things get stronger. And people are not wanting to face this because they just want instantaneous feel good. And I'm one of those, Terry. I'm one of those people because, yeah, do I want to go home and, I'd really like to have some ice cream. It's about bedtime. And boy, that would make me feel good and taste good before bed. Of course, I might get up in the morning and look in the mirror and think, man, why'd I eat that ice cream? But the point is, we want instantaneous feelings. We want gratification. We really, Terry, if you think about it, we have not been taught, especially in the last century so much, we have not been taught to be patient, be humble, to hold ourselves back. We're told to go for the gusto, and that's in everything you want to do. Your relationships, rarely ever do relationships hold on for the best of life until they get married. And people, they go, oh, here goes that old-fashioned pastor, but it's true. We were having this discussion the other day about a couple people and I were having a discussion about why is it that nobody seems to stay married anymore? And it's because, first of all, they didn't hold on to something special to begin with. I know the thought, to me, the mental thought of my wife being with another person is one that I can't bear. And her thought of me that way was something I can't bear. But the problem is we're into a generation of people that has done so much partner switching and flopping that it's just, oh, well, you know, I'll get over it. That should never be the way it is. We don't hold on to anything that's dear anymore. And that's something in life we need to hold on. We need to think about what happens when we die. You know, what's my older life going to be like? What are my children's lives going to be like? Why am I not getting up and taking my kids to church on Sunday? Well, they might tell us how to live. You know, and that's a real farce, too. If you think about it, Terry, the church doesn't tell anyone how to live. It never has. I mean, it may. The religion may tell people. But a true church doesn't. The Word of God does. And all they can do, if they're doing what's right, is read and teach the Word of God as what God tells us what to do and not to do. It is your decision whether you do that or not. You know, it's not a list of rules. It's truth. And it's whether you're going to follow it or not. It's whether you're going to believe the world. I don't understand why people keep reaching for something that is proven over and over again to not work. And I think that's the definition of insanity. Continuing to do the same thing, expecting another outcome. But, you know, look at the drug problem. You know, man, I feel like partying and getting high. It'll just make me feel good right now. Well, it might today, but what's it going to take tomorrow? And the next day, and then before you know it, you look down the road, you see old Uncle So-and-so that's a wiped-out mess because of it. Don't you realize that's where you're going?
Well, then you got no bill money. You got no, you know.
You know, I look at a Facebook site of an area where I grew up, and the obituaries constantly. We have a guy, a wonderful guy, that keeps up on everyone that died that anybody went to school with. Oh. And he posts it, and the condolences, a place for all that. And it just amazes me looking back. I'm a young man. I'm 60 years old. Now, some people may laugh, but trust me, folks, in today's day, you know, I've got a good 20 ahead of me anyway, or I should. But here's the thing. I look at that, and I see the people that are dying. And most of those people are the people that decided they were going to go out and get all the gusto they could. And that's where their life was going to be, and they never came off that. And now their bodies are saying, I'm done, or they've already said, I'm done, and they're dying. And where are they now? I mean, what do they have to look forward to? Well, now the sad thing is they also have eternity to look forward to. And people think, ah, Pastor, you know, that sounds great to me. But people say there's all kinds of ways to God. Yeah, they do say that. I don't care what people say. I care what the Word of God says about the way to God. And I care about what is a proven book and what is a not a proven book. And the Bible has been proven over and over and over again to be accurate, reliable. Do people even understand how many archaeological digs have been found because they found the points in Scripture where to find them? You know, this is a true book. You know, truer than anything you could imagine. So why do people not want to believe it? Well, I'll believe it, but not when it tells me how to live my life. You know, if God loves me, He wants me to be happy. You better believe He does. But being happy does not mean He wants you to do things always that you think are going to make you happy. You know what I mean? There are several verses in the Bible. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. You know. All our righteousness is as filthy rags. See, the thing is, whatever comes from us, you know, the Bible always says that the mind is deceitfully wicked, or the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? God tells us what to do and where we should be. I enjoy my life. I enjoy everyone around it. And when I was a young man and was chasing things like everyone else, I thought I was enjoying that. And until I found out that it wasn't as much fun as I thought. One, it was expensive. Two, it was bad for my health. Three, relationships never work. You know, whether it's friends or whatever it was, there's always a breakdown in that because it's based on the wrong thing. It's based on what you can get from someone. What kind are they going to make me feel good about myself? Are they going to constantly be lifting me up? Are they fun to be with? You know, our friendships should be based on, do we love the other person? Do we care about the other person more than ourselves? You know, when I look at someone, I need to think, you know, I desire for that person to be happy. It may not ever do me a bit of good. It's not what they're going to give me. It's not how they're going to tell me how great I am. But is that person going to have a wonderful life because I shared something with them that they're going to go out and get a hold of, and that's Christ. And that's what the church is supposed to be doing. You know, the church has taken a lot of heat for being all about fundraising. Well, I'll say this in two parts. One, that may be partially true in some cases. But if people in general in the church were doing what they should do, they shouldn't be having to fundraise anyway. But, you know, that's what a lot of people... I don't go to church because all I do is ask for money. Funny story, I had a man come to church one Sunday evening. And I didn't know he was coming. I'd already prepared the message. And his wife told me, she said he always said the reason he'd never go to church is because all they do is ask for money, and he'd never been in a church, so that's not all they did. So he comes that Sunday night, and lo and behold, I've got a message prepared. What I'm talking about is, if you're in a church that's always begging for money, get out. And this guy was amazed. He went home, and his wife went home with him and told him, said, I can't believe that. He goes, I've never been in a church like that before, but do you think he started coming? No, he didn't, because what he was doing was making an excuse. It really wasn't the truth as to why he wasn't coming. He wasn't coming because he didn't want to surrender his life to God. And that's what it's all about.
But he didn't want to take the blame for it.
No, so he blames it on the church.
Right, right.
You don't know how many times I've heard people say, I don't go to church because when I was 12 years old, someone made fun of the clothes I was wearing, or A or B, or I got pregnant and everyone shunned me, or you know what? People are people, and they're going to do rotten, mean things all along. You know, if you're going to church for people, the reaction of people, you're going for the wrong reason. You need to be going to seek God.
These are the same people that I know that sometimes get angry because people post stuff about their church or something. And why'd you post that?
Mm-hmm.
What's my opinion? You know, I mean, they can...
Post all you want.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I know it's the same. They won't come, but yet they also want to critique what these people put in.
It's kind of interesting. By the way, no one's called in yet at 339-9944. I really would love to hear from someone tonight. If you're out there, just let us know you're out there. You don't even have to talk. Just say, hey, I'm out here and I enjoy the show. If you don't enjoy the show, don't call in. How about that? But if you enjoy the show, please call in. I'd appreciate it. But anyway, no, it's one of those things that, you know, this is the Easter season, and we're going to go to church. There's going to be a lot of pretty dresses and a lot of pastel colors and wonderful things. And I know at our church at Community Christian, we'll be thrilled to see you come in the door, but we're going to love you. And that's what you're coming in for. We don't want to know what your bank account is. We don't really care. We don't care if you have any money at all, or maybe even if you need money. The point being, you're there. And we want to share the love of God and the love of Jesus Christ with you. And we want to be there to lift up and not to tear down. We don't come in with strict ideals of dress codes and all those things that scare people. And at the same time, we are a reverent people. We're not going to disrespect God by having a free-for-all of a service either. Because, you know, we have a God that's a God of order. And we know who the author of confusion is. The Bible says Satan's the author of confusion. So you're not going to come to church and find a bunch of confusion either. Well, maybe for me, because I'm confused half the time. But, you know, it's just so important that we realize how life-changing God can be in our lives. Am I going to tell you that if you come and surrender your life to this loving Christ that I know, that all of a sudden all your problems are going to disappear? That, you know, your bills are going to dry up, your marriage is going to be 100%. No, but you know what will happen? You'll begin to be on a road where all those things are brought into focus, and you'll begin to take the right approach to things. And you know what? Eventually, those things do iron themselves out because you are making efforts to make them right and to get them where they need to be. You see, when you're walking with Christ, you're loving your wife. When you're walking with Christ, you're loving your husband. Doesn't matter how ugly you got. It doesn't matter. That's not what's important. It's that covenant relationship between your spouse and God and you. And the problem was, you know, when the state got all involved in marriage many, many, many hundreds of years ago, all of a sudden it became a legal document. And people can find a legal way to get out of a legal document. The problem is God never intended us to end marriage. And when you're married in front of God, he wants you to fight to keep it. When things become legal, somehow in our country and in the world, but really in our country, people have the feeling the minute something becomes legal that it becomes right and just. And that's simply not true. I mean, something can become legal, but it doesn't make it right, right? I mean, God's word tells us what's right. There's certain things that you're allowed to do the Bible says you're not allowed to do. And that's where we have to go back to. But just because it's legal doesn't mean it's right. And it never did. If I go to some state of the union somewhere and it's legal to prostitute women, and that may be legal, but it's not right, how does that degrade a poor woman? I mean, to me, that's one of the lowest crimes there is. Because taking the self-respect from someone and using them like a piece of meat, but it's legal, Terry. Yeah. So I guess that makes it right. No, it doesn't. And you know, we have to start looking at things the way they're supposed to be. You know, do I start working towards doing what I should do with my paycheck? Or do I go out on Friday night and just want one good night of forgetting all the hassle and just blowing it on everything and having a great time and being everybody's buddy because I set up the whole bar three times and I played all the scratch offs or whatever it is, and you know, and just, oh, I was the greatest guy in the world to my bar buddies for one night. And the rest of the week, you're a miserable bum because you didn't pay your child support, or you didn't feed your family, or you didn't buy your kids shoes, or you didn't, whatever the case may be. Right. Now, long term, which one's going to make you feel better? You know, if I wake up on a Monday morning, better yet, if I wake up on a Thursday morning, the day before payday, and I know my kids are fed, and my kids got shoes, and they got a warm roof, I get so much satisfaction out of that, I don't need anybody in the world to tell me how great I am. Because the truth of the matter is, those very people, the minute you go south, they're not going to be telling you. They're going to be the people that are out there saying, can you believe that, Bob? I never liked the guy to begin with. You know, best thing he ever did for me was set up a bar. You understand where I'm at with that. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, at least I know within the church, I know within our church, when somebody falls down, we have a group of people wanting to pick them up and help them through. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. You know, we're more of a hospital ward where people get better. We're not a place where people come that are sick to stay sick. You know, that, there's that problem too. Hey, I'll go to church, but I'm not changing nothing. Yes. Well, if God's not changing your life, what's the point of being there in the beginning?
Yeah.
But it's just funny. It's society has changed so much. But then again, has it really? I look at the early church, you know, the apostles fought the same demons we fight today with the things that were running rampant in society. Greed, prostitution, rape, slavery. All those things were happening clear back then, a couple thousand years ago, and long, long before. But that are happening today. So it's just a difference in society, in a different place. You know, we forget that this country, because it was founded on Judeo-Christian values and was held to that for so long, we had a pretty comfortable society for close to 200 years, where neighborhoods were safe, where people looked out for people, where people cared about each other. And, you know, gradually, you know, things creep in, and then people say, well, this will be better if this and that. And before you know it, people start saying, well, no one tells me what to do, and I have my rights to do A, B, and C, even though it may be something that isn't going to help you. You have the right to do it. And, you know, I know that people should have free will to go to church or whatnot. But, you know, I wish we'd never done away with the blue laws. You know, that it was just a few years ago in the South that they didn't practice them. And quite frankly, they're excuse me, there's some places that still do. But those are the laws that said businesses didn't open on Sunday. And it was great because, you know, God tells us that we're to have a day of rest. And any doctor out there will tell you, you physically need a day of rest to keep your body healthy. A day where you shut the mind off from the mess, where you slow down, where you do something different, where you rest. Now, God knew that and put it in the Bible, clear back in the Old Testament. So God knew that. So I guess he was pretty smart. And so we still need that. And the blue laws allow that because, you know, if you can't go by, do this and that, you know, you're home. And then he said it was a day that you're spent focusing and worshiping him. Wouldn't that be wonderful to have a day where all you did was focus on what God wanted you to do in your life and your family and your kids, and you sat around the table together and talked and shared and loved? Wouldn't that be amazing? Sounds kind of old-fashioned, doesn't it? But you know what? It worked. It worked because there's another thing that God said worked. So the reason a lot of these laws were put in place is because if people are left to their own devices, they normally don't want to do the right thing. Have you ever noticed that? And now, because things have changed so much in the last 60 years, 70 years, with blue laws and whatnot on Sunday, now Sunday is, man, that's my day. I run and I party and I do this and that. And it's just another day of doing the same old thing. And, you know, what's happened to our society? Wow, it's sad, isn't it, Terry? Brown's football that day. Yeah, that's a good example. What are you teaching your kids, you know?
Right.
Hey, you know, kids' church is great, but if the Browns are playing, right, you know, right. Hey, don't need to go. Hey,
exactly.
Well, I got to tell you something. I'm sorry to break anyone's heart, but, you know, I hate to see someone standing at the gate in St. Peter say, you know, really, you cared more about the Browns than you did God, so we're just going to kind of sit over there. We'll think about this. No, I'm being sarcastic, but the point is, you know, where you spend your time and your money is where your heart is.
Sure.
And you need to really ask yourself that question.
Yeah.
And if our families are really important, don't we want to do everything in our power to give them the opportunity to know God if he's truly there?
Sure.
What happens in that split second of death if you realize that there's a God and you miss the boat and you've just led all your kids down a path right behind you? Wouldn't that be heartbreaking? I would think it would be. See, that's kind of what brought me to the Lord in the first place, honestly. You know, I'd been brought up in the church, but I'd never really given my life to him and lived for him. And I got to looking at my kids, and I had four of them. And they were getting to that age. A couple were real young. A couple were getting to that age where they were going to start having habits and being teenagers, you know. And I looked at them, and I thought, wow, what am I doing to these kids? If what I know to be true is actually true, my kids are going to be at a turning point in their life, and either they're going to follow me to hell or they're going to dance with me to heaven. And that's a question we've all got to ask. We truly do. And that's a serious question. And I know it bums a lot of people out to hear that, but it's an honest truth. And you got to make, only you can make that decision. But I have to tell you, don't blame anyone else for it. You know, people, like we were talking a few minutes ago, people make all kinds of excuses why they don't go to church. It's usually not the excuse. The reason is because they don't want to go. The reason is because they might have to do something that's going to change their life, and they're so happy wallowing in that slime pit as a hog that they are. I don't mean to call them hogs. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
Pig gets comfortable in a pit of mud. He don't want to get up out of it, you know. We're kind of the same way. You know, hey, it might be a slime pit, but it's my slime pit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we can get up. And it's not the fact that we got to climb a ladder. He's reaching down his hand to pull us up. We just got to take his hand, Terry. It's the only way there's true happiness. I talked to my friend a while back. I know we just got a few minutes left. He was heartbroken. His marriage had ended after many years. Was not his doing. I know that it's there's always fault on both sides. I don't mean that, but he did not instigate the marriage. He didn't start it.
Right.
Or start not the marriage, but the divorce.
Yeah.
And he's heartbroken. And after a couple years he was just to the point of, I don't know if I can do this anymore. I don't know if I can live. I'm so unhappy, you know. And he tried to date a few times, went on some dating sites, and, man, they didn't work out at all. And he was having trouble. And he said, you know, nothing works out. I can't meet anyone compatible. Am I always just going to be lonely? And I told him something. I said, buddy, let me tell you what to do. I know it's hard right now because you're lonely to put that on the back burner. But you put God first. You decide to get your life right with God and see where he wants to take you, and he'll take care of everything that needs taken care of. And you know, he did. He started spending time in his Bible, spending time, you know, really praying, doing things that he should, and just trying. And he actually got to the point that, you know, I just may be single, you know, because I'm just going to do what the Lord wants me to do and be close to the Lord. And lo and behold, out of the clear blue comes trotting down the path of life a beautiful woman that he was so compatible with, he couldn't even believe it. They're going to be getting married next year. They can't hardly stand spending time apart. It's a long-distance, semi-long-distance relationship, so it's like she's there a weekend. They go back and forth to see each other. You know, they're in her church on one weekend, his church on the other. But he put first things first, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Lord tells us to turn our eyes upon him. Put him first. Acknowledge him first. And all these things will be given and added to you. All of the things that we seek for. But we have to put him first. And the problem is in society is we want to put our things first and then expect him to come along and enjoy the ride. But that's not how God works. God says, put me first. I'll take care of those things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. There it is. And I just wish people seek the kingdom of God. That's been my whole intent of doing this show and being on it. Don't know if we're reaching anybody or not. I never hear much, but I pray that we are. You know, in my the way where I come from is, if there's one person that reached that has a beautiful eternity and glory through one message that's ever been on this station, to me it's beyond worth it.
Yeah.
But obviously you want to reach as many people as possible.
Sure.
And so they'll know the Lord and just know that they need that life change. Hey, folks, we got about 2 minutes here. And our church is at 209 East Water Street in Prospect. We are, like I said, a Bible teaching, believing, and obedient church. We're a huge outreach church. We do a lot of mission work because we love people. We have a wide range of age group there because we love people. We love our elderly as much as we young love our little ones. I got to tell a funny story real quick. Sunday we had a little boy that just struggles with going to nursery. He's been in church for the last 6 months or so, and he's about 3 years old. And no, he's not three yet. I bet he's two. But anyway, he decided Sunday that Mom and Dad had him in the service because he didn't want to stay in the nursery. And he decided that he was going to come up front on the pulpit and have a visit with me. So he did, and I just let him come. You know, we love our kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the Jesus didn't turn them away, and I'll be doggone if I'm going to do it. You know what I mean? But anyway, we have a phone number, 740-494-2222. We're at prospectccf.com. Give us a call. Come see us anytime. We have a lot of youth programs and ministries going on, some real neat summer stuff coming up. I can tell you this is a place you'd call home once you got there. excuse me. Just had a new couple come last 2 weeks ago while I was gone, and just are thrilled they found the place. They said, you know, this is just what we were looking for, and they'd been a couple places, and just they plugged right in, and they're happy, and I'm thrilled to have them. So we do a great Sunday evening Bible study. More of a round table thing and good time. But listen, love you guys. Take care and God bless you.
Good night, everybody.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, The Talking Place.